Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, August 15th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We're going to do this show a little differently today. Right now on the line, we have Chris Emery from the OKBIC, and he, of course, is very instrumental as one of the members keeping the Oklahoma City bombing alive. He was down in Crawford, Texas over the weekend with Cindy Sheehan and all the other anti-war protesters.
And his colleague, Lisa Gariani.
Right, and Lisa Gariani. So, Chris, tell us what's going on down there over the weekend.
The support for Cindy Sheehan is absolutely incredible, and the numbers supporting her completely dwarf those that came out in support of President Bush and the criminal cabal of the war effort. I do have to say that I am pro-government, I am pro-military, but when it is used and abused in a completely blatant way that Mr. Bush and his administration are doing it, that is why I drove down to support Cindy. And there were quite a few other families down there that lost their children or they're permanently disabled, and they were just steaming mad at the way they've been treated by Mr. Bush, the disrespect, the fact that they can't voice their opinion, the fact that they've lost a lot of their loved ones in the war, which has turned out to be based on a pack of lies.
How many people would you say were there?
On Saturday, we arrived at about 2:15 p.m. There were well over 300 vehicles. And at least 420 people, and that was verified by the local county sheriff. So I was standing 5 feet away from one of the sheriff's deputies, and I heard it on the radio. They did an official head count for safety and so forth. So it literally came from the official word.
Yeah. Now
less than 25 Bush supporters.
Huh. Now, as anyone who watches this show knows, that we're not big fans of polls here on Wing TV because we think they're used as conditioning devices or brainwashing devices. So down there in Crawford, Texas, I would say that's the real poll, don't you, about where people are standing on this war?
Yes, absolutely. And there was a busload of supporters brought in earlier that day as well as on Friday, and I think you alluded to the Gallagher group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We found out from the Cindy Sheehan organizers, and they're very well organized, so I want your listeners to know that you show up, you're going to be at a very well-organized rally. They have food and all the supplies there. Getting back to the numbers, yes, that is the actual count. These people have driven in from all over Oklahoma, including ourselves, Texas, New Mexico, Arkansas, Louisiana. We've had them fly in as far as upstate New York. And the nice thing about Crawford is, geographically, it's equidistant between Dallas and Austin, so you can fly into either city. And we saw airport shuttles from both airports there, as well as RVs and vans and personal vehicles.
Did you see any kind of response from the Bush administration? Are you guys down the road from
we found out just about the 2-mile mark, and there was no response at all. Mr. Bush had his pre-planned fundraising events, and I understand he went to a Little League game yesterday and went bike riding, and so he wasn't even part of that. And there was a write-up on another very good Internet website today saying that he, at least out of respect, he should have shown up. President Kennedy would have, even Bill Clinton, for all of the misgivings he has, he would have had the decency to at least show up and pay his respects to the Sheehan. Mr. Bush never did that. He completely ignored everybody.
Yeah, as they say, that's not on the playlist. Now, there's been news reports coming out late yesterday and today that there's a neighbor of the Bushes that fired off his gun, and the excuse he gave afterward then was he was just getting ready to hunt doves. What do you think about that, and do you think that tensions are mounting down there?
No, none whatsoever. In fact, that was completely overplayed by the networks. I drove by that ranch where that gentleman lives.
Mm-hmm.
He has plenty of space. In fact, it's an 8-foot-high wired fence around his entire property. So he has no excuse for saying that these people have encroached on his privacy. That's complete bunk.
Did you get a chance to talk to Cindy Sheehan?
Yes. We were very fortunate to. Literally, we parked our car, unloaded our supplies, water and our cameras and notepad and pen and so forth, and she was walking up with her little entourage. You have to put this in perspective. She is somewhat of a celebrity, and she doesn't want to be treated as such, but there are people out there that don't want her to do what she's doing.
Oh, exactly.
So they have to have some of a protective group.
Mm-hmm.
We were good enough to, fortunate enough to be able to talk to her. She was very gracious, and I passed along my respect and support for her as well as Lisa did, too. There was quite a line behind us ready to do the same.
Yeah. Now, there's also an individual down there that we know from Wing TV. His name's Tom Stoneburner. We're going to have him on tomorrow for a couple minutes. And he was there when the Gallagher bus, the Mike Gallagher bus, pulled in there. And he said this was just nothing more than a staged publicity stunt where they had rent a protesters or whatever.
Rent a mob, yeah.
Yeah, rent a mob. And the things that they were doing there was, you know, saying we don't care and so forth. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's very disrespectful, and whoever organized that certainly wasn't thinking straight.
There
were all over 35 families that lost their children and their spouses and their siblings in that war,
right,
with their photos. And you know, to have somebody say that you don't care, you have no heart when you do something like that.
Yeah.
Right, to exploit other people's grief. So yes. you're organizing local rallies in Oklahoma City. Can you tell people about that?
Yes, in fact, we have a meeting this evening. There is a tight-knit group of about 40 people here in Oklahoma City that are going to carry the torch for Miss Sheehan, so to speak. September 24th, Saturday, we were going to have it at Memorial Park, which is not too far from the bombing memorial, less than a mile north.
Right.
And you can they can contact me through my email, and you folks have that, either through otrfilms@cox.net or chrisemery@cox.net. And I'll relay that information to the organizational group. We're going to have speakers there. We're going to have folks that, such as Lisa and I, that have attended the Cindy Sheehan rally, and folks that have made it to Washington. And I do want to pass along a hello to you guys from Ray McGovern. We ran into him right before we talked to Cindy, and he was glad to see us down there. And he said, Victor and Lisa sent their respects to you, too. So
before we go, Chris, give everyone the site also for your Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee.
www.okcbombing, all one word, okcbombing.org.
All right, very good. Well, Chris, keep up the great work down there. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day
right,
today.
Right, and pass along a hello to Charles Key for us.
Right.
Will do. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, we're very proud of you. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, now what we're going to do is bring on our regularly scheduled guest. His name is Stan Hess.
Right.
But we thought this was so important that we'd sneak a few minutes in beforehand. So
yeah, it's very interesting to see how many people are actually making the trip there. We wish that we could have gone ourselves, but we can't make it to all of these rallies. But we do have our people on the scene to cover them. Tomorrow we'll have Tom Stoneburner. Mm-hmm. He sent us some fantastic pictures, and we'll be featuring those in our photo
gallery. Hi, Stan.
Hi, Victor.
How you doing? We're live on Wing TV. We just got off the phone with Chris Emery, and as I told you yesterday, we're going to jump right into your interview. So,
hi, Stan.
Hey, Lisa. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Now, we have here Stan Hess. He's the host of a radio show called the European American Hour. It's on the Reality Radio Networks on Wednesdays, correct, Stan?
Yes, realityradionetwork.com.
Okay. And all you have to do is go to that site, click on the Wednesday link, and it comes on 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And 8 o'clock Central. It's a great show. We appeared on last week and doing a fantastic job. So, Stan, we don't have as much time as we'd like today, but let's jump right into it. And a lot of talk show hosts cover the issue of illegal immigration and so forth, but they only look at the symptom of it. They only look at illegal immigration. They don't look at the real cause. And what I want to ask you is, what do you think most Americans would feel if they found out that there was a concerted effort to really diminish the influence of European Americans in this country, or, for lack of better words, white people? What do you think about that?
Well, most people, they're basically TV heads. Most people will just regurgitate what they see on television and then repeat that to their friends. They take it in, and then whatever the TV commentator says, they basically repeat it as if they're knowledgeable. And most people do not have a European-American consciousness, and that's what one of my goals in my life through my radio program, the European-American Hour, I'm attempting to do this, which is to develop a consciousness, but not a consciousness like the other side thinks, which is that we're all just similar, we're all the same. The stereotype that, you know, this whiteness thing, which I detest, I do not call myself white.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself a European American, and then I am part of a richly textured culture, that we're a very diverse people, and we deserve respect. So far as the immigration battle that's going on in this country, it has been started by basically Jewish supremacist organizations ever since the 1900s, and cloaking it in different ways. But the key thing is to make us as European American people, and I like to refer to us as, we're in a very straightforward way, we're the people called Goy, Gringo, Honky, White Boy, and Shiksa. And the reason I do that is because we need to say it straight that we are the victims of a campaign of defamation, and that as a result of this, we don't have any pride in our own ancestry, our own histories, that we've been victims. I know I'm kind of circling and answering
this,
but the immigration issue has been pushed by Jewish organizations for a long time, and that they, you know, like people like Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts in 1965 said that the immigration bill, which was passed then during the Johnson administration, would not alter the demographics of the United States. And we see that that has not been the case. But basically, I think he's just being used by Jewish organizations.
Okay, stop right there.
Support him through money and moral support to this agenda, which is, you know, that we are supposed to become a minority because of the crimes that we've committed against everybody else.
Okay. What I want to ask you is, since there are negative stereotypes that circulate around and are promoted by the mainstream media regarding European Americans, do you see the ADL as being behind them?
Oh, yes. The ADL goes to all the police departments around the country and to educate them about what hate is. And hate is one of the stereotypes that is always directed at us. There's nobody else that is a hater but European American people. And I would like to tell people about this wonderful website called resistingdefamation.org. If you go to that website, you will see the things that I'm talking about here. Many of these things are on this website, and it's a guide on how we need to reorient ourselves towards the attacks that go on daily about us. And a good example, yes, the ADL is involved, but this is just not about Zionism. This is about Jewish supremacism, and I never understood, because I always resisted going there, because of the fact that we've all been programmed to think a certain way, that Jewish people are always the victims. Well, there's some very good Jewish people, like Israel Shahak, like Professor Norman Finkelstein.
Well, let's talk about something that I just saw over the weekend. That there's a study out now that says that half of the births in America right now are of Hispanic origin, and that now entire cities and counties and even some states now have the white population as being the minority. So whenever we talk about this, some people, they get real, it's a real touchy subject because it makes them uncomfortable. But the way I see it is that we're at war right now. And I was telling someone today that we're like cows being led to the slaughterhouse.
Yes.
And the powers that be have us so politically correct that we can't even discuss a subject like this without being called either prejudiced or racist or whatever. So how are we supposed to fight back?
Well, I want to bring some people some terrible news, and that is that immigration is being supported by both the left and the right.
That's right. That's right.
Whether it be Jewish or Christian, I still maintain that the push to make us a minority in our own country, which I think will happen within 20 or 30 years, and I'll get into that in a minute if I have the time. But the key thing is that we have to understand that it's gone too far. The right-wing conservatives, so-called conservatives, they want cheap labor.
Yeah.
And also, they are tired of being bashed by the left wing that keeps calling them racist. So they say, okay, We'll allow all these people to come in because we don't want to be called racist anymore. And the other side of it is we'll get cheap labor. The other side, the left wing, is not all left-wingers are totally self-loathing European Americans or white bashers. But the key thing is that the Democratic Party is very, very antagonistic towards the concept of European American respect and diversity and civil rights. Also, the right wing wants to talk about, well, you know, we're all Americans. Well, if we, as we keep becoming more and more a minority in this country, then America is going to mean something entirely different.
Okay, let me ask you this. I looked at that ResistingDefamation.org website, and I was looking at the category called slurs.
Yes.
Aren't we walking kind of a fine line between what is normally considered slang by many people to characterizing it as a racial slur or an ethnic slur? Because, for instance, Joe Sixpack.
Let me tell you, I was a victim of a hate crime. I was shot in the face in 1975 and called a white boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back then they didn't call it a hate crime, but nowadays, if this had happened like last year and I had been African American, that would have been considered a hate crime if a white had shot me and used the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we should be every much as offended by any slur or any denigration of us, whether you call it slang or whatever. In other words, we should be just as sensitive as every other people about how we're being portrayed in the media. You can turn on your TV and you can watch a movie, and you'll see on TV, you'll see all these stereotypes. You'll see the German Nazi with the blue eyes, and watch as the camera goes right into the blue eyes of this hateful German. Or look at all the crime shows and look at the Italian stereotype.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from on this, Sam.
I do too, but like I'm Italian and I'm also Indian. I've been called names to slur me on either way, but
right.
I don't really, I don't know. I guess I just don't feel like I'm taking it for that person.
I mean, like I see what you're saying there, but also in the same sense, there's such a political correctness that it seems like everyone in this society is so sensitive to everything.
Yes.
But the point you're making is that if these same references would be made to other groups, they'd be screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
But if you do it to somebody in this category, say the European American, then it's accepted.
Yeah. See, what I do is I have a lot of fun with it. Because I have been in many diversity workshops at work when I was a bus driver, and I used to enjoy going back and forth with the African American diversity trainers, because I would reject stereotypes, and they would start saying, "Hey, this guy is not talking about hate. What he's talking about is don't call me this because I don't call me this. I don't call myself this name. We don't call ourselves peasants." You know, there's all the, I mean, if you really go through the word, all through the words of our, that we use in society, and look at all the references, you know, like scot free, or, you know, that galls me, or vandals. Look at the vandals were a people, okay? Again, you wouldn't have a law in the United States that said, oh, that person Zionized that building by writing hateful messages on it.
Well, I mean, the big thing is, though, that when we discuss this subject, that this elimination or this diminishing of the influence of European Americans, it isn't something that's just happening. There's a plot there, and we can look to the New World Order or to CAFTA or to Agenda 21 or the FTAA. And when we talk about this, especially illegal immigration, we don't have anything against the Hispanics. What we have a problem with is how they're being manipulated and how we're being manipulated to be little pawns in their game.
I just want to make something very clear. I don't call myself an American. I'm beyond that. I call myself a European American. And if I was 20 years old, I would move out of this country and live in Eastern Europe. Because Eastern Europe is not being overwhelmed by the rest of the world like this country is.
But a large part of Europe is, and that's why their EU, their European Union Constitution was voted down, is because a lot of it was due to outsourcing and also the illegal immigration coming into Europe.
You see, I have lived in California. I have lived in places like Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And California, European Americans are a minority. And in Houston, Texas, where I grew up, European Americans, European Houstonians are now a minority. I I'm sorry. And what I want to tell people is don't be hateful. Don't go around using slurs. But when you're offended by something that's in the newspaper about a hate crime where you know that if it was a European American that was a victim, it wouldn't be called a hate crime, you need to start the answer is you need to go to Wing TV. You need to go to my radio program on Wednesday nights. Support the alternative media because we are never going to be able to change the mainstream media because there's too much money and power behind it. We can only do so much. The key thing is do not adopt the stereotype of the other side, which is to say that those of us who are for European American group civil rights, that we are somehow some knuckle-dragging beasts. We reject that.
I also don't want to promote the position of hypersensitivity among people because I don't want to be hypersensitive about it. Just because other people choose to be ignorant about ethnicity and race doesn't mean I need to be that way also.
And Stan, we got to hop out of here today. I apologize.
No problem. It was great to be on, and I... Again, go over to the resistingdefamation.org website and look at some of this, and I guarantee you that it'll make a big difference in how you look at things. And again, we're all individuals; we all have different ways of looking at things, and that's good. Yeah. We're not just walking around like robots, all thinking the same.
Yeah. When Stan's radio show can also be found at therealityradionetwork.com. So, Stan, thanks for taking a few minutes.
All right, folks, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Check out the European American Hour on realityradionetwork.com.
And also, as I said, this subject does make some people uncomfortable, but we have to get beyond this political correctness because we are the subject of a plot. There's a concerted effort being made to do these things that are happening in this country. And if you think they're just happening on their own, well, you're very much mistaken.
Yeah, I think the deeper issue is what's actually happening and not the whole name-calling thing.
Yeah.
It's deeper than that. And I don't want people to get all hypersensitive about the name-calling thing because the deeper issues are what are more important.
Exactly. Now, tomorrow we're going to be back with Tom Stoneburner first. Then we're going to have the host from, what is it, Cable TV... I think, Hersham Alawi.
Oh, right.
And also, we're going to do an interview tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, with Mr.
I don't even know who he is.
Kitty Awadu. We have somebody. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be interviewed by Rick Biaseda. Next Thursday, we're going to be interviewed next Wednesday. Next Thursday, then, we're going to be on Hersham Alawi's show, so we're going to have a lot of appearances. Keep tuning in, folks, and don't be afraid. Don't let this political correctness keep your mouth shut because we have to start speaking out.
If you're wrong, speak out. But don't get all hypersensitive about this name-slinging with ethnicity. It's deeper than that.
Yeah, so we'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on.
Have a good one.